Life is a continuous journey of learning, growth, and reinvention. Success is not about how fast or how high one climbs, but about how long one can sustain oneself. This is the belief of Mamta, a business consulting leader, motivational speaker, mentor, and poet. Having carved out a successful niche in her corporate career, she's now found a new outlet for her thoughts and emotions through poetry. Hi, Mamta. Welcome to this series of conversations where, as you know, we get women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, to share the stories of their lives with us, to tell us about their challenges, struggles, ups and downs, successes. I mean, what's the journey been like so far? And the idea being to inspire other women, you know, to get out of whatever is holding them back and try and realize their full potential. And eventually, we want to build a community of women who are there to support and empower each other, inspire each other, and be there for each other. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sangeeta. I'm totally delighted to be here. I follow the work that you do. I think you're a huge inspiration. And I love the way that you're bringing a community of women together. I can't find a better place for us as women to learn from each other. So, thank you for the wonderful work you're doing. Delighted to be on this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So let's get started. And the icebreaker, tell us a little bit about yourself, your early life, your childhood.
Well, my childhood, you know, I come from a close-knit nuclear family. I was born and raised in Bangalore. So I'm a Bangalore girl. Mm-hmm. Lived forever till I moved out after my MBA. My parents, my father's an engineer, my mother's a doctor, I have a younger brother. So that was my early life, very close-knit family, very progressive parents, who encouraged me to do whatever I wanted to do, be fearless and bold. And that was quite different, right? My mother's been working. She continued to do her studies, even as I was studying, with the full support of my father. And my younger brother and I are very close. So it was a very different kind of upbringing that you would probably expect from, you know, way back in the 80s, you know, from a general trend of society. Mm-hmm. It's not just that education was encouraged or that we were expected to have careers of our own. But I mean, the alternative wasn't even an option or something that came to our mind, right?
Okay.
So that was one different thing. And all around me, there was always this little bit of the number of women who were working was still not very high. I would say all my classmates, mothers in school, they were mostly housewives, homemakers. So that was a general thing. And even in my, you know, parents, friends circle. Mm-hmm. So the respect that I saw my mother got as a doctor, right, the regard, the respect, and the exposure that she had was quite incredible. So I think that was one of the first, you know, moments of inspiration from me. Mm. And across, all around me from, you know, my mother's sisters, they were all highly educated professors working in governments. That was a very influential factor for what I chose to do later on. And then, of course, I moved, you know, I did my engineering, I did my MBA from IIM Calcutta. I met my husband over there. We got married. Then I've been in Delhi ever since. So it's been a very interesting journey, I would say. Not without its challenges,
but
I'm very grateful where I've been.
Okay. So I guess with that kind of a background and upbringing, working for you, I mean, going out to work was, of course, a given. There was never any other way of being, I guess, right?
Yep.
So ever since that, you've been doing this, right? So a little bit about your career trajectory. How did you start and where did you start and how did you choose to be what you are today?
I can tell you very honestly that a lot of it was very unplanned. As I was growing up, there were a lot of people who were in government services, you know, IRS, IAS, IFS kind of thing. So my parents always found that I was very resourceful, good at kind of organizing, administrative. So they kept, you know, saying, why don't you pursue a career? But at that time, when I was growing up, of course, it was either, you know, you had three fields, art, science, commerce. If you took science, you went engineering or medicine. I saw the amount of, you know, commitment that it required to pursue medicine, and I know that that was not an area that I was so committed to, nor was I so interested. So it was almost by elimination I took up engineering. Then it was, do I want to continue in this field? Not particularly. That's when I decided to give my CAT exams, because I saw some senior of mine who I was very impressed with, who, you know, he said he was doing his MBA, and I was like, okay, let's try that. And got my tail off, got into that. And then it was more about within that, what were the choices available? And it's almost, I think, I can't say it was very well planned with, you know, some target that was set. It was just about, how do I realize the best of my potential? What looks interesting to me for the next, you know, foreseeable future? That future could be 5 years, it could be 10 years, you know, things like that. Mm. And just make the most of whatever was there and the opportunities that came my way. So I started off what I thought, you know, I really liked marketing and general management, you know, more strategy and marketing. So I started off in that. My first few breaks were in marketing. Didn't really like them all that much. But I think my true career started in a place called Quadra Advisory, which was a strategic marketing firm. It was headed by the dawn of marketing in those days, called Shunu Sen. He had been with Unilever, you know, he'd launched Lirl and a whole surf, Lalitaji, all those brands and ads and all, done a lot of work, very inspiring. That was also the first time I had, you know, working in consulting organization, albeit a little small, with a lot of women and a lot of actually role models for me to look at, look up to. So that's how it started. Then I moved into Wipro, spent a lot of time over there, then moved to EY, Ernst & Young, where I've been now for 14 years. I think in all of those, I've had multiple role changes, multiple job rotations. But the one thing has always been, a strategy element has always been part of whatever I've done.
Okay.
Whether it is in running initiatives, implementing strategy for the firm internally, or just picking up, but it's always been multiple roles. And that's been fantastic learning for me. And also, you know, constantly reinventing yourself.
Yes.
So in Ernst, in EY, what I do currently is I lead business consulting for global services as a partner. I lead a cross-functional, cross, you know, a team across the globe. And the kind of exposure that I've got and the learning and the things that I do, it's been very interesting. Having said that, there are new things that keep coming up in the horizon. You have to constantly keep reinventing yourself, learning new things. So that's been a constant, I think, steady factor. Pick up something new, deliver on it every 3 years almost. So it's been a very interesting journey.
And I think that's very interesting what you said about reinventing yourself. I think that is very important. I mean, as we go along in life, we can't have everything planned. But yes, you grow and evolve along the way and you reinvent yourself. That I think is very, very important. Okay. So something about the challenges that you may have faced as an individual and then as a woman.
I think the challenges that we face, let me address the second one as women. So I've always worked in a skewed environment where there have always been more men, whether it's engineering, whether it is MBA, you know, the B school and work. So I think early on, the one learning I had, and in those environments, which is high pressure, extremely competitive, there is no gender mentality that comes in. So it's gender agnostic. Either you're good or you're not. Either you have it in you or you don't. Either you fly or you burn. You know, it's almost like that. It seems, I'm just, you know, dramatizing it, but it can be quite an aggressive environment. And I think that earlier on itself kind of removed the whole gender lens in terms of, oh, I'm a woman. There are certain things I can't do or I can do. So that never occurred to me. So I didn't see any roadblocks in my own mind because I was a woman or from a career perspective. You know, also remember that I came from a fairly progressive family where my father was always encouraging both me and my brother to follow whatever we wanted. And we had our mother as a role model doing exactly that, right? So I think that gender thing did not stop me in my career. But the challenges typically what I've seen comes from our own self-limiting beliefs, right? That there's a sense that, oh, am I good enough for this? Do I need to seek permission? The moment you ask for permission, or if you feel that you have to seek permission, there'll be 100 people who are ready to give you or take on the responsibility of the role to give you permission, right?
Yes.
And I think I've seen that there's a bit of an imposter syndrome that, you know, it's widely talked about.
Yeah,
So I
yeah.
think the self-limiting belief is the one that really comes in the way as women, I feel. And those probably might have been early challenges. For me, the early challenges were, or the challenges that I've faced in my career typically have been not finding the role where I was able to deliver to my full potential. You know, and then I've had some of those in my career. In a 25-year career, you will always have some roles that you don't like,
of
mistakes
course.
That you've made. And of course, I've made all of them, right? Gotten into a role for money, perhaps, because it sounded attractive. There was more money without weighing. And there are certain stages in your life where that is also important. But very quickly, I've learned, and very early on, that when you know, money is an important factor, but weigh all the pros and cons early on before you take on a role. Some of my best learnings have been when I've taken a job cut, a pay cut or a level cut. That has been the best experience. So I think it's the challenges have been about getting into a role that was not really meant to, you know, leverage the full potential that I had, you know, something which always underplays. So there's, you do less. You'll never be happy when you do less than what you are expected, you know, what your potential is. I think, and trying to deal with some things like that in a more mature way, I think those were learning. So those have been some of the challenges. I can't say that it's...
Even in the work environment, you never felt that, you know, I mean, you're part of the corporate world, so you never felt that, you know, you were being targeted or you were being made to do something or not given an opportunity because you're a woman?
No, I did not feel that. And I think because very early on, whenever I've joined, I was very clear about, do I want a job or do I want a career? I was always very clear that I wanted a career, right? Okay. And for me, look, I'm not saying it doesn't exist or maybe I've seen it, but the way I've played my career also is about, you know, entirely on capability, right? Am I being targeted on something even when I was pregnant and I came back from maternity leave? In fact, one of the roles that I got was when I was in my second trimester. And the self-limiting belief that I had was, this is a new role, requires new skills. Okay. I may as well be very upfront and saying, are you sure you want to hire me into this new role? It was an internal rotation, but a very high pressure one. And I went to my boss then and said, you know, I'm pregnant and, you know, you should know before you hire me. So he said, yeah, but it's not like you're not coming back, right? You'll work now. You'll go on your maternity leave and then you'll come back.
Yeah.
So for me, that was an aha moment. You know, I had made such a big deal. Oh my God, you know, people not want to hire me. They didn't see it like that. Right. And so that was one area where I thought it was just, you know, there was no difference.
Okay.
The whole thing was in my mind, I had made this whole thing. Oh, it's a big deal. It wasn't. People get pregnant. They go on maternity. They'll come back. And I came back to my exact same role, delivered on the exact same responsibilities, right? And I think the one thing that did help was I invested a lot in my career, Sangeeta, whether it was in learning, whether it was in delivering to what I did, right? And not letting the gender lens kind of, you know, blind me.
Okay.
So no one ever thought of, oh, there's a woman's role and she's going to come back and she's not going to be able to deliver or anything like that, right? So I think it says a lot about how seriously I took my career and how mature the organization was. Now, in every organization, you'll always find people who, you know, who operate in a different level. But fortunately for me, the organization that I work with have been very high on, you know, gender equality, you know, making sure that there's no unconscious bias. And when we see it, we weed it out. So that's been a blessing. But I've never been stopped because of my career. But I can say two things. I have not taken on certain roles because of a stage in my life.
Yeah.
Right. Either my child was very young, but that was my personal choice.
Yes, it's a matter
or certain roles which I thought, you know, would keep me away or which were not, you know, if I wanted to move. Right. It was all my personal choice.
Yeah.
Everything
was
offered to me. It is my choice that I chose not to follow a particular path because for me, you know, there were other things at play.
Yeah.
Right. But I can't say that there was a discrimination.
Yeah. So I guess one has to know what to do when, you know, prioritize. That's important. And also, I think somewhere we only teach the world how to treat us.
That's right.
You,
bank.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
Yeah.
guess. So
And I
we.
think it's also about education. You know, how do we treat ourselves? How do we treat our career? And how do we treat our colleagues? You know, how do we sensitize them? It's, I think, the one very important thing that I oftentimes think, you know, what is it as from a career? How are we modeling it? Because if you want a career, I believe that you really need to invest, whether it's
Yes, of course,
reinvention, whether
for
it's
sure.
studying, whether it's making time, and not expect everything to be on status quo and, you know, give it and then expect the same level. I mean, a job is a job. It's different. It puts, you know, it's short term. It could be transactional. That's how I see it. And the way I've looked at my career is not about how fast or how high, but I think it's about how long and what all I get to see,
Being
right?
able to sustain.
So it's more about endurance and grit and determination.
Okay, so of course, a woman has to play different roles. I guess men also, but women, I guess, a little more. So, how do you balance the different aspects of your life or the different shades of Mamta, if I may put it like that?
I think, you know, I've always, I thought, you know, there's something called balance. And now balance, you know, the moment you think of balance, you think of a scale, you think of symmetry, you think of, you know, almost like perfection. I don't know. So I've stopped thinking about it more as balance, but more of integration, right? There are various aspects in your life that you'll have to keep integrating. Sometimes certain aspects will take a higher precedence. Sometimes something else will take higher precedence,
Yeah.
right? And I think, and you're right, while roles, men's roles, women's roles, everything has evolved, society is also certainly moving. It's not at all moving at the same pace that women's ambitions, careers, and opportunities have been moving, right? It's always, there's always something or someone which will hold back. And I think it's normal. I'd be fooling myself if I said that women don't shoulder the higher level of responsibilities. I think we do. There'll
Yeah.
always be exceptions. I'm always a little worried about making sweeping statements. There'll always be exceptions. But
Yeah, true.
generally, through studies, they have shown that women do a little more. So how do you balance it? I think one, I've tried not to be perfect in everything. In fact, I don't even aim for perfection. Because that's unnecessary pressure that I feel that I put on myself. I don't want to say all women, I'll just talk about myself.
Yeah.
I think I would put a lot of unnecessary pressure on myself. Certain times, certain milestone years, whether it's in your own career, your own year, or your child's year, or your, you know, spouses, partners, whoever, there'll always be moments when you will accelerate your career, then you'll have to, you know, take it a little slow. So for me, it was the longevity that mattered rather than too fast. And I was very sure of what kind of choices I wanted, or how I wanted my career to be, how I wanted my personal life to be, and how I wanted, and it's personal life just doesn't involve family or kids or pets or anything, but it was my own aspirations, who I want to be as a person, what I want to do as a person. So it's like, you know, your family, your career, yourself, you know, how do you integrate all of it and what takes precedence? So I think that's how I've been able to do it. Not much of balance. It's also a lot of just-in-time adjustments. You know, it's like
Yes,
keeping many things in the air, and you land a few at some time. It's a lot of juggling, right? I don't say balancing. It's a lot of juggling, and it's a lot of very good project management kind of skills applied, very good organizational skills, and it's about integration. I don't look for balance anymore
You cannot
in life.
actually, you
Yeah.
have to integrate and know when to do what. Like you said, what is
Exactly.
more important at a particular moment of time, that is what you kind of,
And I think to be a little agile and flexible also. I mean, we
Of
talk a
course.
lot about strategic agility in our lives and in our, you know, in our careers and in the consulting work that we do, right? How do you keep making changes to your overall plan? How do you keep tweaking it? I think that's what you have to, I don't think being very rigid about something is going to help, because you have so many unexpected things, unpredictable things coming at your way. So as long as broadly you're meeting that goal and working towards something, I think slight detours will always happen, and that's fine. Detours,
That's
pit
fine.
stops, call it whatever.
That's fine. All right. So on the 25 years of working, right? And
Yeah.
so okay, a bit of personal and professional. So if you look back, what would you think has been your biggest success? I mean, it could be, I mean, when I talk of success, it's I'm not only talking about in terms of a position or money, material, not like that, but as a person. What do you think has been your biggest success so far?
I think for me, it's just the fact that I've been very true to myself and maintained my independence and not let the me, you know, get overpowered by all the responsibilities and everything else that happens, right?
Yeah.
Just maintaining the core of who I am, the way I have made my choices, the kind of freedom I have exercised, the kind of agency I have, you know, and not given up any of it to anyone, whether it is, you know, imagined or not, falling to some of the traditional traps that a lot of people fall into. That society is going to say this, someone's going to say this, I can do this, I can't do this, you know, those self-limiting beliefs. I think recognizing them and not falling prey to them, I think would be, I think, one of the greatest successes. The second one is following my passion and experimenting, taking risks. Sometimes I did not know whether this role, how a role is going to turn out for me or how a decision is going to turn out for me. But, you know, somewhere there's a gut feel, there's a level of, okay, this is a risk I can take, and, you know, taking those risks. Sometimes looking at an opportunity, recognizing an opportunity and being able to follow through without being too, you know, boxed in about, you know, what if this goes. So not if, what if this could go wrong, but what if it went right? You know, what would that do? So it's just, I think that thinking is the one that I would see as the one of the successes. Just the freedom, the control, I wouldn't say control, the accountability and ownership that I took for everything. Right? So no one can say today that, oh, I can't turn around and say, you know, I was not allowed to do this, or because of X, you know, Y happened. And, you know, it was all entirely my my choice. So to look back on a 25-year career and say I did exactly what I wanted and all these choices were mine, I think that's a good one. I'm happy about it.
It is very good, actually. It is. It is very good indeed. Okay. Yeah. So, of course, not every day is the same. There are days when we are like, you know, down and out, you know, don't feel like doing stuff, and, you know, the general highs and lows of life. So how do you deal with those?
I think general highs and lows are every day. If there's one thing I'm paranoid about, it's about getting negative thoughts and negative people impact me. Because the moment you have negative thoughts coming in and you don't control it, you know, you get into a downward spiral. And that downward spiral could be anything. So what I try and do is just reflect, try and be in awareness and not let something, you know, impact me so much. There'll always be ups and downs, but just, you know, and it's momentary, the momentary frustration and anger. But I'm a big believer of sitting still and doing nothing, spending time in meditation. I think these, when you start practicing this on a regular basis, that helps. It may not show instantaneous results, may not be all that impactful as you think. It's not like you'll become a saint and you'll, you know, nothing will faze you and nothing will make you angry and nothing will get you down. But recognizing what is the trigger, why are you feeling this way, picking yourself up, dusting yourself off and continuing. I think that is an important one. So for me, the, you know, the stillness, the art of stillness or the art of trying to be aware of yourself, I think that really helps. That's the only way I find my balance. I need my anchor in that.
And I think
it's as simple or as difficult as that.
Yeah. And I think somewhere when you sit and reflect, because see, there things will always be there, which will bother us, but we don't have to let them bother us. So I guess we have to, you know, sit and reflect and understand what is it that is bothering us. And then, you know, sometimes I feel when you get to the bottom of the issue, it's something not as important. You know, the initial reaction is, you know, like you react. So rather than reacting, if you respond, if you think about it, then sometimes those things are not that important also. You know, it's just like,
I think we tend to overthink also. As humans, I think we tend to overthink, right? And it'll be something very inconsequential, immaterial. The other person has not even meant it in a particular way or hasn't even thought about it like that. And here we are agonizing about things that could go wrong. And, you know, step one, step two, leading to step 8 and 10, then a, you know, disastrous outcome at the end of it, right? So I think adding some sense and perspective really helps. I think, and a lot of times it's, chaos is going to happen. It's always, nothing will be planned. And for most people, it'll be some, an important presentation, something goes wrong, someone else has a conflict, your help doesn't turn up, your dog is sick. So many things could happen. But, it is what it is. At the end of the day, it's not going to end, life doesn't end with that, right? So move
and
on.
If it is going to end, then it will end anyways.
Yeah, then it's of no matter to you.
Yes, you're stressing over it, it's not going to
beyond
end. Yeah, like I always say, if the heavens are going to fall, then they'll fall. No? I mean, my being there, stressing over it, it's not going to stop them. So, Mamta, where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Hopefully doing something very interesting. I really don't, I can't say I have a long plan. I mean, I'm just looking at the next 2 or 3 years and how that pans out, and then look at the next 2 or 3 years. But hopefully I'll be doing something that I really like and making an impact, the right kind of impact, whether it's on people or society or, however big or large. But definitely leading a productive and impactful life is what I see now. What exactly that boils down to and how it gets defined, I have no idea.
No, obviously not. That only time will tell. But yes, all right.
But I think impact, I think that for me, that's important. What is the kind of impact that you, and I'm not worried about, what's the legacy and all of that stuff. That's, if you're not there, how does it matter what legacy and all of that stuff, right? For me, it's about if you're here today or if you're here tomorrow, 3 years, 10 years down the line, what is that, is it that you're doing which adds a more positive impact on the people or the planet or your community, right? How, did you leave it better than you found it? Any situation, any interaction, any person. I think that's what it would. And of course, I'd like to continue to realize my potential or follow my passion or talent and explore various other facets of my life. And in what form or manner, I mean, that you should be open to, I feel. Making too much of a plan also could be detrimental.
Yes, some bit of suspense has to be there. So, Mamta, some of the learnings of your life. What has life taught you? Some lessons, something that you would like to share with us?
I mean, it's without... I think it's like I said earlier on, what do you treat your, for, people who want to work, men or women? One is, do you are seeing yourself as in a job or a career, right? And the kind of trade-offs that you make. I think we, it's very difficult to try and be perfect in every sense or everything go as per plan. I've realized that being agile and being a little more accepting of things is very important rather than getting disappointed that something didn't go your way. If there's an opportunity that you've missed, there'll be another opportunity. There's nothing that will get you down permanently except you yourself. So how do you pick up and move on? I think that's one lesson. I already mentioned about the fact that, don't look at... don't make changes because of you're getting a higher pay or whatever it is. The third one, which I found personally very important, is don't get caught up in the whole, who's competing. Some person X is, farm in a higher position. Person Y has something better. We always compare ourselves with someone who is ahead of us, but we don't oftentimes realize how much we have done ourselves and look at the number of people that are not as privileged as we are, perhaps not as successful. And I think we forget to enjoy what we have in the moment. We're always looking for that next big move, the next big whatever it is, without realizing, hey, look at yourself, pat yourself on the back, celebrate the little successes, celebrate the joys. I don't think we take enough time for celebrations. And I think that is something that I've learned to, celebrate, be thankful for it. And for the women, a lot of times who want to be perfect in everything, I'd feel that is something that we have to get a little more practical about. Because you can't be the perfect wife and perfect daughter-in-law and perfect this and that and everything and expect to have a full-blown career where you are perfect at that as well, right? So again, not have too many expectations. I wouldn't say too many expectations. Don't have very unrealistic expectations, I feel. and hold ourselves to some high measure that no one's holding ourselves to. No one has come and told me that, you know, your house has to be perfect or you have to travel 40 days a quarter or anything like that. I think sometimes you ask and sometimes you clarify, and it's not, you know, it's like, okay, someone tells you need to have this delivered, this presentation ready. Ask, when do you need it? We imagine it has to be done today, yesterday, in the next 24 hours. And no, you know, I think asking questions is a very important thing. Saying you don't know is very important as well. Yeah. Asking for help is also very important. I would always say ask for help.
Yeah.
And I think it shows a certain level of maturity and self-awareness. A lot of young people I know are very hesitant to ask for help. They feel it's going to diminish their view of, you know, the boss's view of how they are seen as, you know, how capable they are. But it's not that at all. Right? Asking for help shows that, you know, you're not waiting until the last minute to goof up things. So asking for help, you know, having realistic expectations, don't wait till you're perfect to do everything. Sometimes it's learning on the go. No one's perfect in everything, right? If you're asked for, and then not, I think, give ourselves more credit. We are way smarter than we give ourselves credit to. Mm-hmm. And I think we should recognize that and take on the opportunities. A lot of times we hold ourselves back from opportunity because you want to be perfect. You think, why am I being called for this? I don't know about the subject. Maybe it's not the subject. Maybe it's a leadership skill. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's your view of the organization. Maybe it is your ability to connect and network and drive things and get things done with a team under you. Those were some of the things that I've learned in my own career, right? When I was asked to take on a new role, it was not because, you know, I was good at that subject matter, the technical bit. There are other reasons. It would be leadership. It would be the ability to set up something, the ability to set up a business, scale, incubate, you know, things like that. Yeah. So not look at things deeply.
Okay. Moving on to the next question. So you're a successful woman. You've done well for yourself in terms of your career, personal life, all of that. You're financially independent. So, you know, we do live in a world where, you know, we are slightly more biased towards the other gender. I mean, patriarchy is still a part of our lives, no matter what we believe or what we do. So if we look at it from that lens, how do you think the world perceives or looks at successful women?
I would say, hopefully in a nice, positive way, in a nice, welcoming way.
Yeah.
But I think there's still, I think people in the corporate world, in the upper, I would like to think that, I think the whole bias and things like that are coming down. But I think there are still pockets, realities, there's still pockets of, you know, there's still many, many pockets where, you know, women working, stepping out, you know, controlling their own destiny. I don't think that's, you know, there at all in many parts of the world and definitely in many parts of our own society.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I really wonder, Sangeeta. Sometimes I wonder if we allowed ourselves, maybe sometimes it's self-created. If you take the example of many, many times when women give up the career, mm-hmm. right? And I'll just speak about it in the career context.
Yeah.
Why do we give up so quickly? And like the first thing that goes, you know, gets sacrificed is a woman's career, right? Whenever it's a difficult choice.
Yes.
And is it really the choice of the woman, is the choice of society? You know, we are sometimes offer ourselves as lambs, sacrificial lambs. So it's a very binary state. It's either we want everything and have a strong career or we give up everything. And, you know, and again, it's a personal choice. I'm a little very careful about it. If it's a personal choice, it is fine. If it is a choice that is thrust upon you as your choice, I think we have to question ourselves. Mm. And again, like I said, if you look at the number of women, you know, at the lower, you know, at the more junior positions, it's 50-50. And then it starts to dwindle as women rise. Mm. And that's a problem across the world. It's not just India. It's across the world.
True.
I think we are in the generation where it's still making the progress. We're not there. Hopefully in the next two generations, you know, we shouldn't even have these women's equality. You know, that should not even be a topic. All these extra coaching, mentoring sessions that we have shouldn't even be there. These unconscious biases, because by that time, when my daughter gets into the work stream, you know, she shouldn't have to face all this, because she doesn't, she's not still very conscious of it now. It's much better than what it was before. But I often wonder, why is it so easy for women to give up the careers? And then when I see more and more successful men, more senior men, and you wonder what's, and a lot of them, I think I would dare say more than 50% of them probably don't have their wives working, right? And then I wonder whose choice is it? So, and that's how I think we start to get conditioned, because then we want everything or we want nothing. As always, which is why I aim for integration rather than balance, you know, and I aim for the endurance rather than very, you know, quickly rise high and, you know, the speed and acceleration sometimes. It is just the endurance that sometimes works. So when women, when men look at, you know, successful women, probably it's about what all has she given up, right? It's like it has to come at the cost of something. And what is the price we are paying for it? And I think a lot of it also depends on women, the way we exercise choices, the way we talk about what all we've given up or what we've not given up, because we want, maybe we want everything very quickly, all of a sudden, all at everything, everywhere, all at once kind of thing. Maybe that doesn't work. Maybe some of us haven't been able to pace ourselves. Some of the, us have been pacing. And I think there's a little bit of give and take in every in everything, right? Whether it's a relationship, whether it's a career.
Of course.
So if we have more and more women giving up their careers for a variety of reasons, which is not of their choice, I think that starts to become the norm. And I think that narrative has to change, however slowly. So, yeah, I mean, I see that a lot of men look at women's careers a lot with a lot of respect, successful, you know, success, respect. And then I see a lot of women looking at other women's and their career about what all you've given up. You know, maybe the kids are not being taken care of well. You're not spending time with kids well and all that stuff. So there's a lot, it's a mix. I can't say that, you know, it's a gender thing, but overall, I feel that women need to perhaps, you know, assert their own choices better and make it their choice. Be comfortable with whatever choice. We choose to be successful in whatever way, then be proud of it. Yeah. Don't necessarily have to bring down one versus the other, as long as the choice is yours. Personally, I feel that for, you know, the way there was always a choice of, you know, I can always give up, and a lot of women do, and that's fine. I know a lot of friends, very dear friends, for a variety of reasons. As long as it's their choice, it's fine. The way I've seen it is, if it has to be an equal partnership and we are looking at equality, it should be equal in every way. Yes. I should be able to share the responsibilities of my partner, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's, you know, both of us working to make whatever it is that we want out of life from a successful perspective. Otherwise, I think the load gets too skewed on one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And in this world, it's very important for, I feel, both people to be financially savvy and financially stable and financially independent also. You never know how life turns out. I've seen lots of, you know, areas where women are delegating or relegating everything to their better halves or, you know, their partners or spouses or whoever on the financial matter. And when something happens, most of, a lot of them don't even know what's happening, you know. That's one. Second, there's too much burden on one person if there's, they're shouldering all the responsibilities, either of the career or the home. And that becomes a sort of resentment and bitterness that starts to creep in. The burden is very high. I mean, looking after a home is extremely stressful. The, you know, the sole running of the home is extremely stressful. Sole running of a career is also extremely, you know, stressful. I think there should be a balance. So I really don't know how anyone looks at a career woman, you know, about, or successful women, whether they're writers, whether they're artists, they're, you know, dancers or whatever, as long as they've got a certain amount of success and fame. I think it's very individual. There are people who are misogynistic and look at it and, you know, in a very, you know, she must be failing at everything else to be successful.
Everything
comes at the cost of everything else. And then there'll be people who are like, yeah, I mean, if you've grown up with successful women all around, it's the most normal thing.
It's the most normal thing. And
if you've grown up having leaders who are both men and women, have equal exposure, and that also becomes normal. It becomes a template for, you know, how you want
to see your own children.
Yeah.
And today, I think everyone wants to see their children being happy, independent, and successful. And however you define success.
Yeah. I agree.
So I think the responsibility is on all of us, you know, the way we play the success and how much we, what cost we pay.
Yes.
And if you pay a particular cost for that success, then you should be happy. It's your choice. Right? I think, so finally,
yeah,
I think it...
Provided it is your choice.
Your choice.
Provided it is your choice. And sometimes, you know, you may not be forced, but it is kind of implied that if, you know, one of us has to do it, then it has to be the woman. So sometimes it is more of, you know, something that's implied rather than, you know, being told expressly that you have to do it. So that, I think...
That is true. And I think that's where... I think a lot of things matter. Education, awareness, the reason why you are. I think if you make it all about your... See, there's always a thing about all about me, all about my passion, all that stuff. And also all about what might be good for the unit.
Yeah.
The family
unit.
Yes. Right? In terms of understanding the long-term risks and, you know, fulfillment. A lot of things that come into play over here.
Correct.
Agency of both the people, the woman, all of those things. How important is it? How do you expect the family to... How do you educate and take the family? It takes a village to raise a child, they say. Yep. It also takes a village to, you know, allow or, you know, again, I'm hesitant to use the word allow. How do we manage our career so that it's not at the exclusion of everything else?
Yes.
No? And again, that's the whole point of integrating and making sure, you know, there'll be sometimes when you have to take on the load a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the a little less, whether it's financial, emotional, for family, for your children, all of that. I think the point is, what is the price we're willing to pay and what is it that we're willing to integrate?
So,
like I said, it's about the endurance. I really don't know what the right answer is because it's such a, you know, landmine. Anything can be misconstrued and it's a very individualistic choices. But the one thing I wish people wouldn't do is, like you said, take the implied choice instead of working through, right? And then I think the bigger things, it has a cascading effect.
Yes.
For me, when I look at it, what does it mean? If you have a son and daughter, what are you teaching your daughter? What are you teaching your son?
Yeah, correct.
This is also the learning. They're going to learn from the family unit or, you know, the circle that's around them. What does that circle say about the choices you make, about how progressive you are, what you are, you know, allowing each other to do, where the women are constantly asking for permission. Even if no one's giving them permission, they're asking somebody for validation. They're asking someone to boost their self-confidence. Then what does it do for the daughters, right? So then again, the whole generation, the cycle repeats itself and we will continue to have these, you know, extra oversight across many generations to come. So I think that is also somewhere that's played up, right? If I stop, my mother did her MD. Now I couldn't just stop with the graduation. You know, so it plays on my mind. And typically when you educate a woman and make her more independent, then it's generations that gets taken care of.
Absolutely. It has a cascading effect. Yes, that's true.
It has a much more broader than the cascading effect that men have.
Yes.
Without...
No, I get it.
Totally.
Yes. All right. So now you're someone who has done it and I'll come to it, what you've done. And then we see a lot of people doing it as well, which is shifting gears, switching gears. I mean, you've not kind of let go of what you were doing earlier, but you've added on something else to your, what should I say, the list of things that you do. So yes, being in the corporate world and now writing and your poems and all of that. So what do you have to say about it? I mean, how is it that now we see more and more people who are doing more other stuff? I mean, it's not only what they were doing, I mean, trained to do, a doctor, engineer or something, but they're adding on their passions to the list of things that they want to do in life. So what do you have to say about this phenomena?
I mean, I would put that question right back at you also, right, Sangeeta, for the multi, you know, the number of things that you do apart being an educator and the wonderful things that you're doing. The way I see it is, I think, now I don't know whether it's a gender question or I think it's gender agnostic, this question.
Yes.
But I feel people are beginning to follow their passion more and making time. I think there's a sense of awareness that, you know, this is one part of your life.
Hmm.
And there is much more that one can do as well without sacrificing. You know, at the end of the day, all of us had passions when we were growing up. All of us had hobbies when we were growing up. We were all playing a sport. We were doing many, many things. And somewhere I think it's now people are recognizing there's more awareness about being mindful, taking it, you know, balance. I wouldn't say balancing, integrating more things.
Mm-hmm.
So people have started to go back to recognize some of those, I feel, and making time for it very mindfully.
Mm-hmm.
Now that could come in, you make time for it, you start getting good at it, you start excelling at it, you know, then it's of a higher quality and start taking it seriously. I think that's what's happening. And I think there is also recognition that, you know, work is going to be one part. Your corporate life is going to be one part of you.
Hmm.
And careers are also not, you know, the stickiness. It was not like you joined a company and you stayed there for 40 years, not all the time.
Yes.
Now we are seeing more and more people having shorter spans in one company. So
yeah.
I think people are understanding that there is your work life, there is a family, there is a personal life, there are, you know, how do you become a more fulfilled human being? How do you realize your potential? I think that's what's getting more people out. And it does help that technology is available. We've become more efficient from that sense. There are lots more exposure and awareness. I think all of this is contributing to the fact that, yes, you can do it. And it doesn't have to be like a Nobel Prize winning level, right?
Yeah,
every effort. I think just the opportunities and the ease with which we can actually do things. There are clubs everywhere.
Yes.
There are information about clubs. If you want to do something, you can be sure that you'll, you know, so there's more access now, I think.
Yeah.
And therefore, people are able to make that time.
I agree. All right. So any piece of advice you would like to give to young girls, girls who are on the threshold of their lives, their personal lives, professional lives, what would you like to tell them?
I would say, don't always keep asking for permission. You don't need it. Don't assume you don't have freedom. Everyone got freedom in India in 1947. You don't need to have, you have freedom or you don't have freedom. It's yours. Decide earlier on whether you want a career, whether you want to have a job. I would urge people to be financially, emotionally, you know, independent, not be dependent too much. I mean, of course, it's your choice. And look to make an impact, a positive impact, right? There's a lot of human potential. How do you make a positive impact? Then there are some of the smaller things. Be kind in whatever you do. That's very important.
Yes.
And ask for help. Ask for help, definitely. Because it's not that. And one of the things that I've learned is, I've learned a lot from a lot of very senior women, you know, women who are 5 years ahead of me in the career, 10 years ahead of me in the career. I learned the most from women. I've also got a lot of help from other women in my career, as well as men. But, you know, equally, I learned from women because everyone goes through the same journey, whether it's in the US, whether it's in UK, whether it's over here. The nuances may be different, but the expectations are still the same. So how do you manage to some of the problems which when they're young seem insurmountable are actually, you know, it's always a, you know, it's normal. Everyone's gone through it. There is a way around it. On any of the journeys that you are on. So ask for help, speak to people, have a group of friends. And I think integrate everything. Don't do one towards the exclusion of the other is what I would say. I mean, all of them sound very, very simple. But, you know, I think sometimes we overcomplicate it. Sometimes it's a very simple thing that you need to do, but practice it with consistency.
Yeah.
I think that's, but I would definitely say to all the young women, don't let gender get into the way. Right? There is a lot of education that's happening around unconscious biases. There is a lot of education. There's, you know, and even men also want the same level of flexibility that women want. Men are also looking at, you know, hopefully women also having careers. Right, equally. So it's not like it's a big, bad, mean world out there. There are enough supporters. There'll always be naysayers, but now there's a good, you know, set of supporters also who are looking at an equal world, a better world.
Yeah.
So make use of this, I would say, and don't color everything with under a gender lens. You know, at the end of it, it also boils down to capability. It also boils down to how much you invest in your career, how much you reinvent yourself, how you follow your passion, and what kind of an impact that you keep making and how relevant you stay. So I think that relevance, you know, every 3 years, some things will change. And with technology, it's every 6 months. Yeah. So how are you keeping pace with all of it? I think that's very important. That's what I tell, you know, youngsters entering the world of work.
And of course, I think for girls, something like financial and emotional independence also, you don't have to be dependent on others. Like, while you don't color everything with the gender lens, but at the same time, I mean, you can't also be dependent on others. You know, somewhere you have to find a way to exist on your own, to survive on your own also. Yeah.
I think that is there for everyone.
Yes.
Right. And
yes.
I think, but yeah, you're right.
And you've always been doing it. So for women in that sense, that still, you know, girls sometimes feel that I have a choice. While you do have a choice, I think it's not very smart to exercise that choice. I mean, become independent. That's what I feel.
I think independence in your, or even if you're not, I think it's a very personal thing around whether you want to have a career, don't want to have a career. But the choice should be yours. And I think here it matters who you know, what kind of people, how do you educate, how much you stand up for yourself. And how much are you, because all of these are sometimes exhausting battles, right? They can take out a lot from you. So I think you also have to look at, you know, what are you fighting for? And what are you not fighting for? What are you accepting? Because then you accept a lot of stuff and that becomes like your routine. You know, you know it's one, it's the next and all that. So I think I would strongly, you know, I've urged my daughter, you know, have a career, be financially independent, follow your dreams.
Yes.
Now, where those dreams lead to, what kind of financial independence she gets, that's different.
Yes, yes.
And
yes,
it's, for some people, it's a lot, you know, depending on the lifestyle you want to have. And for some people, it's just enough to, you know, have the agency and the ability to make choices and decisions for themselves.
Yeah.
I think as long as you're able to make those decisions and choices, and if you're in control of your life and you can make decisions for yourself, I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
Right. And that may mean have a career. That may mean don't have a career. That may mean be financially independent. That may mean have the trust of somebody. You know, I don't know what it is, but
yeah.
I think the choice should be yours. The accountability, you should be accountable for your life and your choices.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, and I think as people are also getting more exposure, more awareness and, you know, progressing. And in societies, you know, in the larger cities, more education, more literate, I think I would hope for that.
So tell me something. We hear a lot of this. I don't agree, but your viewpoint. You think a woman is a woman's worst enemy?
I don't think so at all. I don't think a woman is a woman's worst enemy. A woman's worst enemy is her own self-limiting belief. Her own need for seeking validation, her own need for seeking permission. And I think it can, and your enemy can be your own self. It could be your worst enemy. It could be a man or a woman. So I don't think it's a woman is a woman's worst enemy at all. I found, you know, some of the best helps or the best guidance coming from women in my career as well as in my personal life. In my career, I've had very, very good bosses, women that I've worked with, I've looked up to, who've taught me a lot, who mentored, sponsored me. We say women are oftentimes over-coached, over-mentored, but under-sponsored, right? So having that strong sense of sponsorship. So I have not found that, and that's what I would do paying it forward. I think where the tendency is, you don't invest all that much in your career, you don't do a lot, and then you expect the same benefits or expect to be at the same trajectory that someone else who's invested a lot in the career to be, right? And then if you're not putting in the effort, you say, oh, it's because I'm a woman or it's a gender issue. I think that's incorrect. I think if you are, you know, as long as you're looking at it as a long-term serious perspective, and it takes a lot, right? You have to keep constantly reinventing yourself. So I don't think so at all. But I found enough people, women that I did not like and enough men that I did not like. Enough of them who tried to scuttle you. So I don't think it's a gender thing.
Okay.
Though I can tell you that, you know, when you're younger, and especially for new parents, and if you have a young kid, sometimes there is a tendency for women to judge you. You know, you're traveling so much, you're out of the house so much, who's taking care of your kid? Doesn't he feel lonely? Doesn't he feel upset? Things like that. I think that adds a little bit of a, you know, guilt to all of us. And I feel that women tend to feel guiltier faster. Awesome. Again, I'm only speaking for myself and some of the women that I am friends with or work with. There is a heightened sense of guilt, which is probably not necessary. And sometimes women knowingly, unwittingly play onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there should be a lot more sensitivity around how we work and how we address some of it. It's not, I mean, you know, it's not at all like you're abandoning your child for your career.
Absolutely.
No one does
that. Absolutely. No one does that. No one does that. We're human beings. At the end of the day, how can we even think of doing that? Yeah, yeah.
And enough, you know, control procedures. You know, there'll always be a mother, mother-in-law, father, father-in-law, brother, sister, husband, wife will say, hey, you know what, I think this is... So there are enough controls in place, right? So, but I think that's where sometimes it comes across as women are women's worst enemies. So sometimes when they're seeing someone's not, a senior woman is not helping a junior woman in her career.
Mm-hmm.
But then oftentimes it's not a woman thing. It could be a capability thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Most of the time it's a capability thing. And that's what I've seen. You know, when you look at, when you kind of unpeel the onion and look at the reasons why, it turns out to be maybe a will issue or a skill issue.
Correct. So Mamta, the final question. Can a woman have it all?
Well, can anyone have it all?
Do you
think men can have it all? I don't know. I think it depends on our definition of all. What do we mean by all?
I agree.
And every time we get something, we want something else. Right? No matter how much. You get a new car, you want a different... You get bored, you want a different model. You have something, you want something else.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's about... I think the question is whether women or men, I don't think anyone can have it all. It's about being thankful for what you have and figuring out what you actually want, how much you need and what you need. I think that's the whole thing. Otherwise, it's never enough.
Yes.
And our definition of what do we mean by women, can women have it all? You look at half the people, whether it's men or women, they get something, they're high achievers, not happy, they want something else. It's almost, I think it's about, instead of maybe, can women have it all, it's, I would say, are we realizing our full potential? And I think the dissatisfaction comes somewhere in not being able to follow the path that we think we should be taking. Right? Not being allowed or not being able to make that choice for ourselves. I think that's kind of, you know, translates into can women have it all or can men have it all. If you ask, I think, any human being, they'll probably, it's human tendency to always want something you don't have.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's exactly what it is. I don't think any career, any life is without its ups and downs. Where there is happiness, there will always be sadness. There's always a duality.
Yes.
So we want that constant high, that constant happiness, the constant everything. That's not reality of life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's always, it's a, you know, it's an accumulation of small and big joys and happinesses at the end
Absolutely.
Of the day.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if anyone should want to have it all or it's humanly possible to have it all. But I think it's about, are you realizing and living up to your full potential? I think the sadness or the lack or the misery comes when you're not doing that and you recognize it.
And you recognize it. Yeah, I agree. So your definition of all, I think, is very important. What is it that your all could be different from my all? So I have to know what my all is before I set out to, you know, getting it. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes, of course you can have it all. Now, whether you're a man or a woman, you can have it all.
Yes. But you must know what your all is. All right. All right, Mamta. So it was really, really nice talking to you. I hope you felt the same because, you know,
I loved it. Absolutely. I hope this is of use to people. It's of use to your audience. I had the most delightful conversation. You made me think a lot, I must say.
I'm glad. See, the thing is, I feel women across the globe, like you said, you know, the situations could be different, circumstances could be different, but we all largely go through the same set of things, you know, one way or the other. So it's just that I feel that as women, we can not only inspire, but sometimes, you know, from our own lives, when we share, other people can relate, they can identify, and sometimes it's just that little thing, okay, she did it like this, so maybe I can also do it like that, you know. So this is what the whole idea is, because a man cannot understand what a woman goes through, like a woman cannot understand what a man goes through. So I think it is important for us as women to be there, in the sense that I can understand what you may go through as a, or you may have gone through as a mother or as a daughter or as a daughter-in-law. So I can share my experiences for you to pick on them and learn something. That's the whole idea. So I think...
Absolutely.
Yeah?
No, I think... And you know, the other thing, as you were speaking, it struck me as we have to bring our authentic selves also.
Yeah.
You have to talk about and you have to normalize the conversation, especially for women.
Yeah,
and you do have responsibilities. You do have to look after and be at your child's, you know, whatever school play or something like that. That your the way you set out your to see, you know, go through your day might have changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, and sometimes we don't understand the impact. We normalize a lot. We normalize and tend not to normalize. We try to make light of the various adjustments. But sometimes telling people, listen, I'm having a bad day. I'm having, you know, an issue, a challenge at home, you know, without trying to cover it up. I think men talk very freely about, you know, I went to my daughter's baseball, you know, this thing I had to, you know, I have to leave on this day. I can't make it to the full length of the meeting because I have to attend my daughter's prom.
Yeah.
Men say it. And that happened, the most important meetings. But we are like trying to, you know, be quiet about it, saying, you know, adjust, because we don't feel that we have earned our places if we say these.
Yes,
but this is normal. Someone has to give birth to kids. Someone has to take care of kids.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's your spouse. So say it, because everyone's going through it. But when I think when most senior women say that this is what they've gone through, it gives the courage to other women also to say, yes, it's normal.
Yes,
it's these normal. Are things that we're talking about. And I didn't realize the impact until someone told me. There was this very important meeting, and it was we had some very senior stakeholders and colleagues traveling in, and we were all, you know, next 2 days. But that meeting to discuss what we're going to discuss in the meeting was very sudden. I had to be at my daughter's school. So I hesitated, saying, you know, and I had a new boss at that time, and he wanted to see everything, and he was also getting up to speed. And I was very hesitant. Should I say this? Should I not say it? What's he going to think of me? And I said, listen, I need to leave this meeting because I have a commitment. Now, I had overthought it so much. He said, yeah, sure, that's it. All the colleagues who were there who I didn't realize had an impact, they say, wow, she took a stance. She said, this is important. I need to prioritize. I need to go. And they felt bolder for it, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I was overthinking, you know, my God, what's he going to think? But he didn't. He's like, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Sometimes it's just in our heads.
It's in our heads, right?
Yeah.
I think you have to make it normal to say, yes, I have a problem today. Yes, I have to be at this whatever event. Yes, I have to take care of my dog. And it's not just about kids. It's about your personal passion.
Absolutely.
Yes, I have
absolutely.
To give this talk. I have to go here. I have to travel. We should make that part of it. And that's what I mean by integration.
Yes.
Right? Integrated.
Yes.
It's not one for the other.
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you, Sangeeta. It was wonderful speaking and having this conversation. It kind of made me think a lot. So thanks very much for that.
I enjoyed having you and talking to you. All right.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in every Thursday for some more inspiring conversations with women trailblazers. If you like the show, follow us, and you could leave a review to help us get better. You could even get in touch with us on any one of our social media handles.